We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome back, Mike Haas and Charlie Long with you tonight on Sports Talk until 8 o'clock tonight. Pelicans play tonight in Las Vegas against Oklahoma City. That also is 8:30, I believe, the tip-off there is for the Pelicans. They are looking for their first win in Oklahoma City. Pretty strong. They haven't lost yet after winning the NBA title, but we're going to talk right now to Doug Cunceri. You know him well. He's the co-host of All Things Legal with a good friend of mine, Albert Nico, as Doug has been a friend of mine since I moved to New Orleans 35 years ago on Sundays from 8 to 10, leading right into our Saints coverage. He does a lot of our hurricane coverage, and he and Albert both are our big legal team in fighting the insurance companies after storms. But there was a time in his career that he was a NFL player agent. And so that's why I had asked him to be on the show. How are you doing, Mr. Cunceri?
Great. That was back in the days you were in Lubbock, right?
Well, Lubbock and here. You were, I mean, I don't know when it was in the, I got here in 89. When
were, that's when where were I you, met you.
Yeah.
That's when I got
you,
certified. Yeah.
Were you representing then?
Yes. I started in 1989.
There you go. So the relationship of the agent and the team, you know, was many things. Back then, it was chaos. I mean, it was them leaking. You talk to the agent all the time. It was, you know, it was a very unique relationship, I'm sure, with the agent and the general manager. And then when we got into the slotting, you know, part of this, it was kind of like, all right, first round, here's what you're going to make. Second round, here's what you're going to make. And we haven't talked about a holdout, in my world, in some time. I guess tell me what it was like back then. You know, dealing with general managers when it was just feast or famine. You were fighting for every dollar you could possibly get.
It was everything was on the table. It was really a lot of how much and a lot. And the interesting thing in the NFL 30 years ago is there was disparity where the rookies, like the first round picks, were making more money than the veterans. So what they have done over the last 30 years is sort of reallocated the money from the rookies who didn't have any skins on the wall to the veterans, usually after their first rookie contract. So that was the trend over the last 30 years. Also, and we for a little while, we didn't have a salary cap, and then we had a salary cap. So when you had a salary cap, teams a lot of times just had a budget. In other words, they said, this is our number for your player. We can negotiate structure, but we're really not going to negotiate a lot on how much because we just don't have it in the budget. So what happens with the rookie cap now is it is slotted under the 2011 collective bargaining agreement. So the only negotiation in the second round, third round, was how much guaranteed money were you going to have. The contracts were going to be 4 years, but whether you had a signing bonus in any part of the first or second year guaranteed. Typically, recently in the second round pick, you had slotted total compensation, which was that was pretty immovable. And then you had a four-year contract where if you were on the top end of the second round, you might get 3 years if you were lucky. But typically, the guaranteed money would be 2 years, and in some cases, even less. So basically, the difference now was before it was how much with an unlimited cap. Now it is how do you structure it, and what's negotiated is how much guaranteed money are you going to get in your 4 years.
And so here we are.
Yes.
So May 8th and May 9th, in order, the Texans signed and then Cleveland signed their first. They were the number one pick of the second round and the second pick of the second round. And bang, guaranteed 11.7 for Jaden Higgins and guaranteed 11.8 very next day for Carson Schwesinger for Cleveland. And, you know, all of a sudden it becomes, it's precedent setting. And May 8th, June 8th, July 8th, here we are on the 16th, and nobody has signed. And, you know, we haven't been in this situation in a long time, right? Who's going to blink? And so because, I mean, you tell me, the league, the other 30 teams go, no, we do not want this to be precedent setting. And so we are going to hold firm because I think, but I believe that this is a big deal to them.
It is huge. Now, you made a good point in the last segment. They can't talk among themselves and say, hey, we're going to get together and hold out on this, because that would be collusion, antitrust, and that would be all kinds of problems. In fact, if I asked the other 30 general managers, they would probably want to hire Vito Corleone and get him to deal with this with Houston and Cleveland. But this is, I think, whoever's going to blink first. Now, here's the question is for the team, is the second round pick, do they have a play? Do they need to play right away? Or is it okay if they sit and cool their heels? So I'll give you an example. If the Saints would have drafted a center at number 40, they would be a lot less likely to give in to the pressure of 4 years guaranteed, because they got Eric McCoy there. He's an all-pro, and he's not going to play next year unless Eric gets hurt. However, the Saints are in a very unique situation because they don't have a quarterback with any type of experience, and it is paramount to get as many reps for Shuck. And also, it's part of their marketing campaign to say, we have a new quarterback, we have a new start, and he's going to sit out or hold out waiting for a four-year guaranteed contract. So each team has a specific situation that is different from the other teams. And I think some of the ones who are going to hold out and not agree to a four-year guarantee probably already have a player that's ahead of that second-round pick who they are counting on. And they're like, we don't need the second-round pick this year. It's okay. And we're going to let him cool his heels. But the Saints have a very interesting dilemma, because they have their poster child or poster, you know, their future as a quarterback. And, you know, that's what they're marketing, that we have a new start with a new quarterback. And it'll be interesting to see how, you know, who blinks first, as you've so eloquently stated.
Yeah, you know, that was my question for you, Doug, is it going to be the Saints that do blink first, because it being the only quarterback of these second round picks? And as you kind of mentioned, Kellen Moore's handpicked guy, the 40th overall selection, that they want to get him as many reps as possible throughout the training camp process. Like, it feels like of all the teams that are going to have to make their decision sooner rather than later, because we've come down to this point where we're a week away from training camp, the Saints seem like the first team to do so.
Yeah. What, if I was the Saints, and I'm not, you know, I would give advice. I say make it a guaranteed contract without calling it a guaranteed contract. In the sense of this, what you do is you structure it maybe for 2 to 3 years guaranteed, but you have a kicker in there that if he reaches a minimal threshold, then the fourth year would be guaranteed. So in that case, what you could say is, hey, the contract is not guaranteed, wink, wink, for 4 years, but there's the threshold to get that fourth year guaranteed might be very low. So what I see with the Saints, or, you know, a team like the Saints would do, is they would probably say, hey, look, we don't want to set a precedent here. We're going to call it a 3 year, but it's probably going to operate like a 4 year. And that's what I would see would be the possible compromise for the agent who wants a four-year guarantee, and for the team who wants to save face and say, no, we don't give out four-year guaranteed quarterbacks for contracts for second-year picks. We don't do that. We're not doing that this year. We're not doing it next year. And we're not doing it in the indefinite future.
Because if you look across the board, history tells us that the second-round pick, 40th, you know, in year four, is not a guarantee. You'd think that they are, but in a lot of cases they're not. The percentages are not outstanding.
Let me read some names out to you. Jimmy Clausen, Christian Hackenberg, Tavares Jackson, Kevin Cobb, Brady Quinn, Paxton Lynch, Quincy Carter. Those were all second round picks or higher, and they didn't survive or probably play out their 4 year contract. And that's what the Saints don't want to have happen. And I don't want to be negative, but I'm going to say statistically, this is just statistically, a Shuck has about a 30 to 40% chance that he will play out his contract with the Saints or be a viable NFL starter. That's just statistically. I'm not saying that's true. So that's what the Saints are trying to have to weigh in deciding how to get them a, you know, whether to give him a four-year guarantee to get him in on in, at camp early so he can get as many reps as possible. So that's, you know, that's the other side of the equation. And that goes also for Higgins and Carson Schwessinger.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not locks. I would say they're probably 80% going to play, but they're not locks. And to be weighted down with a, you know, two or three years of a contract when they don't, when a second rounder doesn't perform is a consideration for the team to make.
So just kind of looking into your crystal ball, do you think this is something that could last in the training camp with the Saints and Tyler Shuck? Because it's already, I mean, granted, it's a lesser position with wide receiver. Trey Harris with the Chargers. The Chargers have already started training camp, and he's still unsigned as a second-round pick. So there's a little bit of precedent for not being having your second-round pick signed as you start training camp.
I think it's going to go down to the wire. And when it gets down to the wire, there's both considerations on both sides to get him in on camp on time. What I think they're going to do is something like I alluded to before. They're going to be creative. They're going to, you know, they're going to call it not guaranteed, but it's going to probably operate as guaranteed. So both sides can save face. So yes, I do think it's going to go down to the wire, and I think it'll be a standoff for a, probably about 18 of these players. I tell you what, when the dominoes fall, they will fall quickly.
Exactly. I mean, and so if we have a question on the talking text line that came in, that if you the team does make this the wink wink non-guaranteed contract, it then kind of does set precedent, but everybody's clauses, trigger clauses will be different because he's a quarterback. It might be right. Plays, touchdowns, yards, or you might be a DB. It might just be how many, you know, how many defensive percentage of plays that you got in. So that would be the difference. I mean, yes, it would be precedent setting in that sense that you're putting, you know, triggers in of, for years 1, 2, and 3 maybe, but everybody's might be different.
Right. Yes, so that's, you know, the reason you'd want to not have it officially as a 4 year is because it gives you plausible deniability. And, you know, you can, you know, and with a quarterback, you make a great point because it's not, it's sort of an all or nothing deal. You know, it's probably, you're either going to be a starter or you're going to be a backup. And if you're a backup, you're probably not going to play a lot, but mop up duty. So I think they can get creative on how, you know, how to figure that out. You know, there's, you know, they do have to work within a framework of 4 years, but there's some things you can maybe restructure if certain things happen. Like maybe you can put some, you know, maybe some benefit early on if certain benchmarks are made. So, you know, I think if they get down to the wire, I think there's a way of doing this with both the agent and the team saving face if they're both reasonable and flexible. Usually when you have a holdout, you have someone who's just dug in, and you know, and it could be possibly that one side is unreasonable or overplaying their leverage. I think what makes a great negotiator is the identification of leverage and using it appropriately. And so I that's what I think both parties are going to try to do is to use their leverage appropriately and see where they land.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Well, the interesting thing is that you got to be wondering. So Cleveland with Carson, then Jaden, the fourth pick of the second round is Cleveland. Quinshon Judkins, the running back out of Ohio State.
He's in his own legal troubles right now.
Yeah, but I mean, he's got to be wondering. And also the Texans.
The 48th pick.
So what they should fix this. You know, the NFL teams are saying, look, dude, go back in, and these other two picks in the second round, do not guarantee their fourth. Let us get back into this game. Let's don't set precedent. You can, we'll, you know, 50% in year four if you do blank, 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 blank. It's like, because both teams still have another pick to sign in the second round. They got to be going, well, what's the problem here? You already guaranteed, you know, the second pick and the first pick of the second round. Why not the fourth pick? Or in the Texans case, it would be the 16th pick. So, man, it's a mess. And I just feel like because there is so much on the line, and I feel like the NFL teams are going to stand as long as they can on this and figure out a way. Now, I will say the Saints and their front office and Kai Harley and all those guys, mm-hmm. they're brilliant. If there's a group that I would like to have figure this out financially, it would be that group. They've been very enormous at, you know, moving money around year after year to get under the cap, more so this year than ever. By the way, do you miss this game, this part of the game, the agent part?
Honestly, I love the negotiation. I don't miss the other aspects of it.
Yeah. Did you deal
off
with
the field?
Did you deal with Jim Finks?
Yes. He actually went against him, and we hired him. He hired us also to do some things for him. And we have a lot of good stories. I could tell you this, that Jim Finks would not have functioned well under free agency or under this player today, the type of player today. And he was very, how can I say, inconvenient rules were a nuisance to him. So that's probably the best way I can put it.
He's he and Mora. So they fought free agency tooth and nail. And the Saints would lose players at the very beginning of free agency. And, you know, I was doing Coach Moore's show at the time. He didn't even want to talk about, like, Sam Mills leaving or Ricky Lee. I go, well, dude, I got to talk about it. You know, I can't not. I mean, they did not like it. They just.
I think Bobby has a whole book on his negotiation. And it's interesting because I think both sides didn't think they would move on, because there was at one point Bobby said, I'm moving on. And then Finks says, I'm moving on. And then they both tried to get each other back and it didn't work out. So he was not made for that time. And I think mercifully, he didn't become commissioner, because I think it would have made him crazy. He passed shortly thereafter, but he was very old school. And when we were working on for him, if there was a rule that he didn't care for, he sort of just said, find a way to get around it. So, he just had his own way of thinking how things should be. And he was fantastic, and he probably changed the course of the Saints from, you know, a perennial loser to a winning team.
Doug, before we let you run, there was one other situation I wanted to ask you about. I talked with you a little bit about this off air. Jamar Stewart and the Cincinnati Bengals. We talked that 30 of the 32 second-round picks are unsigned. Only one first-round pick from the 2025 draft remains unsigned, and that's Jamar Stewart, who was picked in the middle of the first round. The Cincinnati Bengals, there's a conflict with Jamar and the Bengals over future guarantees, and that he hasn't signed this contract. And then NBC puts out a story today that he's considering going back to school with Texas A&M, and he's been training with the Aggie program. The Bengals start training camp later on this week. They started on July 19th. And if you're talking about kind of running up against the clock here, and it's not just a second-round pick, this is the first-round pick here that we're talking about with Jamar Stewart. It's been a fascinating storyline to follow. I just want to get your thoughts on what's been going on with Cincinnati.
I thought that may happen with a sixth- or seventh-round pick, that they would say, look, I could make more money in college, and I'm going to go back. Now, the thing with Stewart, Smith could do is – if he wanted to go back to Texas A&M, he could find a court that may give him a temporary restraining order to allow him to play. And the time that order maybe is disposed of, the season may be almost over. So I think it's a very interesting strategy if they're trying to accomplish something in the contract that they haven't so far. But I'm a little surprised it's the first-round pick. I thought it might be like a fifth or sixth or seventh-round pick who they might say, hey, you know, I'm going to go back to college. I might do better in college than I am in the NFL. And there's some rules against that. But the question would be, are those rules enforceable or is that a restraint of trade? And all that is totally up in the air. And the NFL doesn't like uncertainty. The NCAA doesn't like uncertainty. And the players would be bringing uncertainty to that situation. So it bears watching. It'll be interesting on how that plays out. And if he gets hurt working out with Texas A&M, that is a whole new dimension that you'd have to deal with as far as the contract's concerned. So,
well, that's the one thing. Shuck has been taking part in the OTAs, minicamp. So he's up to speed, and he's been working with Cooper Rush, been working with Brandon Cook. So we'll see. I mean, we're a week away. A lot needs to happen. I don't care about the other 30. I do care about one.
Right.
A lot needs to happen in the coming days. Now, I hope you are busy. I hope you and Albert at your law firm are busy on Monday. I hope it's got nothing to do with insurance and weather, and I hope that is not your focus on Monday.
We hope that we're not doing that for the rest of our career.
Exactly.
So there you go.
All Things
Amen.
Legal, Sunday 8 to 10, Albert Nico and Doug Cinceri. I knew this would be invaluable when I emailed you this morning. Thinking, this is going to be – this is a topic we've kind of like, oh, yeah, it'll happen. It'll happen. It ain't happened. So I appreciate your time. My best to your family. My best to Albert.
All right. Good talking to you guys.
Thanks, Doug.
Right, see you later. Bye-bye.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.